This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We are 3 days away from the start of the NFL draft, and the Orioles lost by a football score yesterday, which makes it a perfect time to add out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Our own Cordell Woodland, who covers the Orioles and Ravens for us here at The Fan, joins us now. And Cordell, on a scale of 1, it's early and there's nothing to worry about, to 10, this season is a disaster. Where are you on the Orioles after what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, I'm at about somewhere between an 8 and a 9, honestly, at this point, because, I mean, you look at this team and the pitching is what it is. You knew that coming into the season, and you definitely know it now with Eflin on the IL. You don't even know if we'll see Grayson at any point this year at this point. And Morton might as well not even be there the way that he's playing. So the pitching is what it is, but offensively, they can't hit anybody. I mean, that was a bullpen game for the Reds yesterday, and you wouldn't be able to tell watching the Orioles players up at the plate. So I just think that they're a flawed team all around that doesn't do anything well these days. And even if the offense does wake up by some miracle and they are able to carry this team for a little bit, they can't do it for 2 to 3 months, you know, until this rotation gets put back together. So I just look at this team right now, and even in the long-term picture for this season, I'm kind of out of hope for them.
And look, we can go back, and we've been doing this on this show for quite some time, going back to July the 1st of last year and looking how, even from the offensive standpoint, they're not even above league average in any of the key metrics, like to let alone say they're top 5 or top 10. They're not top 15, top 18 in a lot of this stuff. Their walk rate is still pretty atrocious this year. And Cordell, like, the things you can't quantify, like Austin Wins looks like every at-bat for him back here is game 7 of the World Series, but these guys don't seem to get up for more than one game a week, and that's usually after they got their ass kicked the night before. Like, Austin Hayes comes in here with a chip in his shoulder. Hoffman, who never even played for him but almost signed with him, comes in here, and like, these guys seems to me, even Taters has a big series here, like they seem to be more up for the fight to take it to the Orioles than the Orioles are now that they're the hunted and not the hunter.
Yeah, I mean, they seem, I don't want to say that they've looked like they're on cruise control, but I mean, I think lack of emotion has been their problem for a while now. Honestly, if you could go back the last couple of years, how many times have we talked about guys getting plunked at the plate and nothing happening, you know, and how many times have we talked about, you know, them getting kind of gypped, and it still happens with some bad umpiring at times and how they'll say his thing from the dugout, but the lack of fight, the lack of emotion has been a problem for them for a while. And even now, I mean, you look at the clubhouse, like, who is that guy that's going to get in somebody's face? And I had somebody ask me the other day, like, who's the guy, do they have a guy that's going to stand up in the middle of the locker room, like, look, we need to go out there and win this bleeping game today. Maybe O'Hearn, maybe, you know. Other than that,
I don't know if there's anybody that's like, you know, going around pushing people to the limit and, you know, challenging guys, challenging themselves. I don't know if they have that vocal leadership right now. Obviously, what Sed is doing this year, you know, has been great. He's leading by example, but I don't know what they need. But definitely, like you're pointing out, some of the former Orioles that have come back here and had good games, i.e. Austin Wins and Hayes this past weekend, it just seems like these guys just aren't up for the fight. And I saw a quote, I think, from Jacob Calvin-Meyer today about Westberg yesterday after the game, you know, talking about how this should kind of force them to get their act together, getting embarrassed yesterday at home on Easter. I don't know, man. I don't really have a lot of hope that all of a sudden they're going to come out and start scoring 15-plus runs.
So, Cordell, where do we go from here? Do you let Craig Morton, the old quarterback, Charlie Morton, is he going to the bullpen? Are you DFAing him? What do you do? Most people think they have to make a move to wake everybody up, but what is there to do?
That's the thing. It's like, what do you do? They're boxed in right now. I mean, they gave the guy $15 million to be here, and he isn't even a shell of what they were hoping to get. I mean, this has been downright embarrassing and pitiful to watch Charlie Morton out there, honestly. I don't know if sending them to the bullpen or all of a sudden change things for them. They need to just figure out what their rotation looks like in general right now. It's hanging on by tape, where people are hoping to see Kyle Gibson at some point soon and hoping he can help right the ship. That's just where we are in this dynamic right now. That's why I'm saying, like, even if the offense was producing, I don't think that they could produce consistently enough to really carry this team the way that they need to. They just don't have any answers. If we're talking about starting rotation wise, they have the worst starting rotation in baseball. Charlie Morton is a big reason why, but honestly, even if Morton was playing better than he is right now, I don't know if that's enough to save it. So to answer your question, I don't know. I guess if you want to keep him on the team, you start looking at all options, including sending him to the bullpen. But they have bigger problems than Charlie Morton. He just happens to be one of the biggest issues right now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there part of you, because you're there a lot, that at some point Hyder cracks a little bit and it's just like, hey, man, like, I'm playing the hand I was dealt. Like, I feel like he's tiptoed up to that line a few times, even the way he's sort of talked about Morton. You know, I've only had him for five starts. Like, is there some point where you think the pressure and the fact that he's having to wear this publicly while, you know, Elias comes out and pops into the dugout once every 6 weeks, you know, to send out whatever messaging he wants to send out. But do you think there's a chance that we start to see a little different side to Brandon Hyde here?
I mean, like, to your point, it's already kind of started to be that way. I mean, it's not totally back in the days of the 100 loss seasons, don't get me wrong, but there's not many smiles in those presses anymore. You know, there's not a lot of jokes being said. It's having to try to come up with some sort of answers. And even Hyde, before the Morton start, basically letting it be known he needs some sort of outing from Morton. He needs him to eat up some innings because their bullpen is taxing. Even going to yesterday after the Morton start, and he's like, you know, that was embarrassing. It's disappointing that we weren't able to get the innings that we need from Charlie. He sees it. I mean, he's living it right there. So I don't know if he'll just flat out just have a whole meltdown at the mic. I don't anticipate that happening.
Why don't you guys ask my boss that question, kind of thing?
You know, yeah, I don't know if we'll get any. I don't expect him to throw Elias necessarily under the bus. But I do think he is starting to definitely lean into, like, look, we're watching the same game. You guys know the players that I have at my disposal just like I do. I think it's to that point now, especially pitching-wise, to where, you know, it's right in our faces.
Cordell, before I let you go, draft 3 days away. You got any feel, any idea, any thoughts on what position the Ravens, if they stick at 27, where they might be looking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to bet it'll be on the defensive side of the ball. I think if Malachi Starks is there, I really think that they'll run that card up there and hand it in. I don't know how they rank these edge rushers or even these more so the interior defensive linemen. It's supposed to be a bunch of those guys in there, a bunch of first round talent starter caliber interior defensive linemen. So depending on how they have them ranked, maybe they go there. But in my mind, I think if it's three positions, I think it's either going to be safety, corner, and third is probably going to be somewhere on the interior offensive line because they need a lot of depth there. They need depth on both sides, but I get a feeling with the way they love those offensive linemen, they'll probably put that ahead of D-line, especially if they feel like the best player available is on that side.
You and Beltway, Ben, before the draft starts on Thursday?
Yep, 6:30 to 8:00. So hopefully, you know, maybe the Orioles have won a game or two by then against the Nationals. We'll see. I think that'll be a tough series for them two out there. I mean, look, you can't pitch. Every series is tough. So we'll see what's happening. But obviously, yeah, we'll be talking a lot of draft.
Thanks, buddy. We'll
Mitchell
chat next
Parker,
year.
Yeah. Slow throwing lefty. I mean, if you want to talk about exactly who they don't want to see, it's Mitchell Parker.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and they're one of the worst offensive teams in the league against lefties in general these days. But like you said, those soft tosses. And Mitchell Parker's been solid for the Nationals to this point this year. Their rotation in general has actually been okay for them at times. But, yeah, I'm expecting there to be a little bit of a struggle for them the next couple of days.
Thanks, buddy. We'll listen to you Thursday, and we'll talk next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, coming up next, we get to the Ravens, a little Purple Rain, and who are the legitimate options for the Ravens, assuming they stay at 27 at defensive line and edge? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.